This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, you're listening to BPN Radio, and it's a war room, and we are dealing with a very explosive subject. I want to make a couple of points. Last time, I don't know whether it was before the weekend or how this pans out as it is played on the radio station, but last time we were talking about the whole issue of transgenderism and that there's something fundamentally wrong with that. The point I made is that in the human body there's somewhere between 15 trillion and 70 trillion cells. Yeah? And the interesting thing is it's very close to the national deficit or the national debt the United States has got with 20 trillion or 21, close to $21 trillion. And we made the point if you added every second $1 and you wanted to pay back the national debt of the United States of America, it would take you just a little bit more than 500,000 years to pay for this debt. This is sort of the figures we're looking at. And the point I made was that in the human body, you know, the way we've been put together, there is either 15 trillion times to 70 trillion times an XX chromosome if you're a woman, and an XY chromosome if you are a man. And then there are a couple of genetic anomalies, and it's sort of one every couple of thousand people. You've either got the Turner syndrome or the Klinefelter syndrome. And one has got the XXY chromosome, which normally you know, develops or people develop as a male. Or there is the just one X chromosome without the other X chromosome. And these people normally develop as a woman with, you know, all the sexual development and sexual organs. Right, so that's where we are. And now we are living in a generation where, first of all, you know, people at some stage in their life, they realize they don't feel the gender they are and they need to change the gender. And then we've got some very eager doctors who are going for the treatment. Obviously, there's a lot of money involved, and why not? And it helps those people, and they might have all the good intentions to do this. But what are they really doing? Okay, and then we've got some very interesting statistical data, which seems to indicate that not everything is right. So we've got the suicide rate about 20 times higher compared to the normal population for people who have undergone transgender alignment or gender alignment, so who have been transgenderized. Okay, and I think the suicide rate is still about 3 times higher compared to people who have got the intention to, you know, become the other gender, but are not following it through. So that means, you know, you go through the ops and you go through the operations, and your chances rise by 300%. That these people will commit suicide. So the point I'm trying to make is there's a terrible situation going on, and there's a real need, you know, there's a real stress and distress amongst these people. And I don't want to sort of talk against these people, but I want to call upon the church, and this is again the Christian War Room thing, that we need to be prepared to deal with people who have fallen into this propaganda trap of trying to convince them, if they've got weird, strange feelings, that they need to align their bodies with hormone treatment, medication, with surgery, and lots of other things to align it with whatever is going on in their minds. And the obvious fallacy is, and there are a couple of things, and it's just obvious and it stares you in the face, that a man who has got 70 trillion XY chromosomes in his body will never be a real woman. And a woman who has got 70 trillion XX chromosomes in her body will never be a real man. And it's very, very simple. The man will never be able to bear children. you know, the man who decides to become a woman will never be able to bear children, and the woman who decides to become a man will never be able to father a child. It's just as simple as that. And so straight away you can see that something is not quite right in this logic. And then the question is, why don't we try and help these people to find their true identity, to align their identity in their mind, in their thinking, with the obvious identity which the biology of that person dictates. And it's interesting as well, there are a lot of people who never ever consider this option. And when you sort of go into the media, so that option just seems to be out of the range. Nobody ever talks about this. And I find this quite distressing. When I went to Russia, I was talking to a bunch of Russians, and they've got a very different understanding of this whole thing. So you may be aware that if there are gay activists in Russia, that they commit an offense. Yeah. And the Russian concept is, and the Russian thinking is quite interesting, and they say these people, you know, who pursue a gay lifestyle, they are potentially having a massive impact on our youth, leading them into a way which we do not want. We want the traditional family. We want people to procreate and to carry on the legacy of the Russian people. That's sort of the mentality they've got. I was talking to a couple of Russians saying it's there. And then the argument they had, and I'm just quoting, make this sure I'm quoting. I was talking to a friend of mine called Sergei, and Sergei told me that the way they see it is that biologically it's very clear, you know, you are made as a man, you're made as a woman, and you are supposed to connect as a man with a woman, to procreate, build a family, and build up the next generation. So very simple, very straightforward, very traditional. So that was their thinking. And then they say, so if you have got different inclinations, there's something wrong with you in your head. So you need to go to a psychiatrist, or you need to go to Gulag. Yeah, that was sort of the extreme attitude I was given. Yeah. So Sergei is not an evangelical Christian or anything like that. He was just like a man of the street, quite an intelligent guy as well. You know, he used to be a captain and for the Navy in Russia, and well traveled, good English speaker, and everything. But that was sort of the idea which he was telling me, and it was quite interesting. And I thought, okay, it's a very different view, politically highly incorrect. If you stood in Europe on a stage and you would say this, it would probably be totally unacceptable. That's the way they think, yeah? And that's the way they declare, you know, this whole issue. Okay. Now, the Christian perspective is very clear on this. God has made man male and female, has he made them? Yeah? Male and female. And we can go to Genesis and we can just look at the whole definition of creation. And it's very, very clear. It's male and female. What we find in society is, and I think it's a spiritual issue as much as it is just a very, you know, confusing situation and a mental issue. What's happening in this society? It's like a rebellion against the status quo God has given us. Where women try to be like men, men try to be like women, and then they take it one step further. You know, once they go onto this path of confusion, where they feel that their body has to be aligned with their mentality or with whatever they're thinking, whatever is going on in their thinking. And they embark on a path which is not leading them to happiness. But there's a promise of happiness once they have achieved this, once they have modified their body, you know, a little bit further, then they'll be happy. And when this all happens, you find right at the end that people are not happy, and they get the certificate that they are now legally a woman because, you know, everything has been removed that signifies them as a man, or vice versa. But they aren't happy. It doesn't make a difference to them. On the contrary, you know, now they are neither here nor there. You know, all the defining characteristics have been removed, and they're sort of in nowhere land. And it's a very, very difficult situation for these people, and I really feel sorry for them. Okay, where do we stand as a church? What do we need to do? Now, this is a phenomenon that's not existed in any generation before us. It's completely new. didn't exist. Sort of in the 80s, we never heard about this. I mean, there were maybe the odd one here and there, but it wasn't really a big issue, and it wasn't really anything on any, you know, size to deal with. And now we are sort of in the 2018, and we find that suddenly this has become quite a big issue. This has become really, 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 really big. And there's a good chance that when you are in church, that one day somebody comes through your door who is at the point of committing suicide, who is totally desperate, doesn't know how to move forward, doesn't know how to move backward, doesn't know what to do anymore, has just been deceived by the media, has been deceived by the medical profession, has been let down by everybody in his life, and now you've got this person who is who just doesn't know anything anymore. What do we do as a church? Now, the zeitgeist, the political correctness brigade, the leftists and, you know, the people in this world, they tell us we need to accept them, we need to encourage them, and we need to push them in the direction which they have gone. And if we don't push them in this direction, but we encourage them to return back to, like if it's a man who has become a woman, to embrace their manhood, or if it's a woman who has become a man, to embrace their womanhood, then we are almost committing a crime. Yeah. This is the way the political correctness brigade goes. Now, what we need to do, though, is we need to embrace these people. First of all, we have to sort of make clear, and this is the biggest lie that is going around, that the identity of a person is going to be described by their sexual attraction. And that's not the identity. That's not the identity of a person. You are not a transgender, you are not a lesbian, you are not a gay or homosexual, you are not a bisexual. Sexuality doesn't describe your identity. It's not true. And we need to get this across, that you are you. God has made you. God has created you. We all have got flaws, and we all, you know, fall short of the standard God has set in front of us. And Roman is very clearly, there's no one among us, you know, who can stand before God and say, look at me, I'm a bonny lass, or I'm a bonny lad, and you should be proud of me that I'm so good and so nice. None of us can say this. We all have been born with sinful inclinations, and we all fall short of the glory of God. And for somebody it might be gluttony, for somebody it might be greed, for somebody it might be anger, for somebody it might be a sexual deviance, for somebody it might be, you know, lying, thieving, something else. And some people just can't help themselves, and they fall into the same trap again and again. Others have got a very addictive personality, and they start falling into alcoholism or drug use, heavy drug use. The thing we need to recognize is, we're all sinners, but a thief is not a thief by their identity. You know, I'm not like thieves and crooks community. I mean, we don't identify ourselves by our inclinations and by things which go wrong. We identify ourselves by who we are. Yeah. And so to give you some examples, yeah, there are some identifiers. One of them might be nationality. Yeah. I'm German, for example. And pretty much so, you know, because I didn't live in Britain when I was a child, so my dialect or my accent stays with me, and it's there, it's with me, and it's going to be with me till the day I die. But and it's sort of kind of people recognize, you know, he's not quite one of us, you know, he speaks the language, but there's, you know, a few flaws here and there, and they know that I'm not one of them, yeah. But that's an identifier. Yeah? So I belong to the group of the Germans. Another identifier might be your faith. I'm a Christian. My Lord is Jesus Christ. I recognize him as my Lord, and that's for me personally the most important thing. And that's my identity to a certain extent. I am a Christian. But then again, would I describe myself by my sexuality? You know, no, I wouldn't, because I'm a Christian. I follow the Bible. And that's it. Yeah. You know? And what we find now is that suddenly somebody has come along and put a label on certain people. And we have suddenly got somebody, you know, the gay community, somebody is gay or somebody is transgender. And there's a big stump, somebody pressed it on their heads and left it there. And I think as a church, the most important thing which we have to do is we have to get people out of this mindset. They are not defined by, people are not defined by their sexuality. People are not defined by something they do. They're not. People are normally defined by the group they belong to. Yeah. Social group, for example. And maybe, you know, within the gay community, there is something like a gay community or lesbian community or whatever. I don't know. But very often they're defined by the group they belong to. The important point for us is to get this labeling out of their heads and to make sure that people who walk into our church doors and who've got serious problems in their life and serious issues in their lives, who are 20% or 20 times more likely to commit suicide than the average person, you know, out on the street, who are probably at a point in their lives where they're so desperate that they don't know what to do anymore. And what you find is that, you know, communities don't accept them. In their own community, they don't find any peace. And they're really looking for truth. They may be looking for genuine truth. And what we should do is, as a church, is we should encounter them with a spirit of love, genuine agape love, where we accept them as they are, and where we reinforce into their lives that they are loved by God as they are, you know, all the blemishes in their life and everything, that God will forgive them for everything they have done, for every mistake they have committed and they've done in their life. And we also need to make clear that we are all in the same boat. We are all people of many mistakes, and we need to come to a place before God where we can receive His forgiveness for everything we have done, and we can receive a way of holiness, way of sanctification, of, you know, doing the right thing, not out of our own power, but by the power of God. And that is very important. So we need to be prepared as a church for this, for the LGBTQ, you know, communities, whatever this stands for. But we need to do this. But again, what happens in the church? We've got a massive problem. The church adopts the indoctrination by the media, by the left wing. And this indoctrination is that these people have been made the way they are by God. So it's not their fault, it's God's fault that they are, you know, that they have these inclinations, that things are going wrong in their lives. And that is something which we cannot accept, because the Bible is very clear. The Bible is very clear on this point that it is not right. You know? So we need to, again, we need to sort of go away from this word paradigm of, you know, trying to sanctify sin, to sanctify something which is bad, which is wrong. And we need to be clear on what the Bible says. And the Bible says very clearly, God has made them male and female. Male and female He has made them. And that the union is between a man and a woman. And that this is a sanctified union, that both of them will become one flesh. And then obviously that the one of the many aims of this union is to create life, to produce life. And to carry on the next generation. And again, that's something which is completely fallen out of the window. Modern secularism, you know, children are just sort of, you know, like you get an iPhone or you get a child kind of thing, you know, whatever you like, whatever takes your fancy. That is sort of the mentality which we have in our society today, that the importance of children is sort of brushed underneath the carpet. Yeah? And in contrast, people are encouraged to, you know, have this new family and this new family concept of where, you know, anybody with anybody can do it, and they can just order a child from somewhere or do it through insemination. Whatever it is, okay, they are sort of pushed into this weird and strange direction. Also, you know, the importance is there is career, self-fulfillment, self-worth, quotas, and we get all this stuff coming up. And then what's happening is that, you know, people buy into this and the biological clock starts ticking. And one day they realize that's not really what I want, because I want a family, you know. I want to put something into the next generation. And when they realize that that this is what they really, really want, suddenly it's too late and nothing happens anymore. And, you know, the time is over, the time is up. And we find that there are a lot of couples who really wished they had gone for it, but they've been deceived. And they waited and waited and waited until it was too late, because like the next career move was more important, or paying off the bills, paying off the house, or whatever. So again, we need to understand what is going on in society, and we need to counter this movement. We need to go against this movement, oppose this movement and this deception which is going on. And again, that is the war room. That is all stuff for the war room. Okay, let me just carry on with the war room. Now, the war room is not about a battle against flesh and blood. It's not against people who do, you know, terrible mistakes, or people who go out there and who indoctrinate other people in a really, really bad way, leading them to their destruction, possibly sometimes with the best of intentions. What we need to do is we need to be a voice to be heard, a voice literally in the wilderness, of this crazy world we are living in now. And it is like a jungle. It is where all the order has been thrown out and about, and there's no more order in this wilderness. We need to be a voice in this wilderness to reach out to a generation, who has completely lost the plot, who doesn't know anymore what is right. They try to do the right thing. They try to do the good thing. They try to be nice. They try to be supportive. And in doing so, they're destroying people's lives, and they're driving them to their own destruction, to their suicides, to some crazy concepts. Yeah? And we've seen this over the last sort of 10 to 20 years, where the media has just been, you know, like a constant drop hollows a stone. And the media has just been sort of going drip, 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 trying to indoctrinate us with ideas and concepts that are toxic, that are dangerous, and that are destructive. And again, as a church, we need to realize this. We need to realize this. And when these people come through our doors, and when they're looking for help, we should never, ever confirm what the world is being indoctrinating into them. That's the world has got them to the point where they are. The world has got them to this point where they're ready to destroy their own lives and destroy their bodies completely, and probably face an eternity in hell. We need to pick them up at this point and just be truthful to them, tell them what the Word of God says, and tell them, look, my friend, it doesn't matter what you are, it doesn't matter what you've done to your body, it doesn't matter what they've done to your body, it doesn't matter what they've told you your identity is. God has created you. He loves you as you are. And He wants you to find a purpose in your life and to find a way of moving forward in your life. He wants you to make the most of whatever life you had. And it doesn't matter what has happened to you. Just start again. Have a new life. Have a new life in Christ. And embrace what Jesus can do for you, even at this stage in your life where so many wrong things have happened to you. Even at this point, you can make a new start. And something which looks like it's completely destroyed can be resurrected again, and something beautiful can happen. Something great can happen, and we need to give these people hope. And it's not just a fake thing. There is real hope in Christ, and there is real hope that these people can have a new start, and that their chances of being 20 times more likely to kill themselves and to destroy themselves is going to go down. Yeah, it's going to go down so that. That they are probably 20 times less likely to kill themselves than, you know, the average statistical data for people without these issues in this world. So something to take on board. Okay, my friends, this is a war room, and this is a Christian war room. One of the things we need to do is we need to study these phenomenons which are going on in this world. It may be time for you, if you can go on board with this, and maybe you've been through this, you know somebody who has been through this whole process, or maybe you've been through this process to yourself, and maybe you are in the unique position to help others who are either intending to go through this process or who have gone through this process and have, you know, in the hope of finding some fulfillment or finding some peace in their life, and it's not worked out. It's not worked out for them. and you may be able to help them. And what I want to encourage you is there's a purpose for your life as well. There's so much of it going on in this world right now that you can maybe reach out to these people in a way nobody else can. And you can give them an eternity, a hope. First of all, in this world, yeah, where they can, you know, do something good with their lives, you know, for the rest of the time. And the most important thing is where they can find real deep, non-destructive peace in their lives, and where they can find some fulfillment in their lives, and where they can find the love of God and the love of their brothers and sisters in their lives as well, and make a start and move on and do something great. And you might be the one, you might be the catalyst to give hope to people who find themselves in this situation. Okay, I want to leave it at that for today, just encourage you to do this. You can go to our website. Lots of other subjects discussed as well. All about the Christian War Room. The concept of the Christian War Room is to create some intelligence center where you collect information, where you try and find out what's going on in this world, where you then put some programs, create some programs, literature, media programs, maybe talks like these podcasts, and you put them together, and you reach out to people who are in these you know, various situations, and you do this, and that's what we need today, because we haven't got enough of this. The problems we are facing in 2018 are problems we have never faced before in the last 2,000 years, not to that extent. And it's getting worse as well. It's getting worse, there's no doubt about it. This world is lost. There's a deception going on out there which is beyond comparison. And more people are falling for all sorts of crazy stuff. And we need to rescue them. We need to help them. There are many ways of doing this. And I want to encourage you to embrace this and not to give up. We need to be busy until our Lord comes back to take us home. And we need to be seen to reach out with the gospel to the ends of the world until Jesus comes back and deal with everything, with all the problems that are there. Not just, good old 18th century sermon, you know, brimstone and fire, which I love and which is necessary and is not done enough today. But we need to deal with particular problems people are dealing with so it's relevant to them and they can see, you know, God wants them as well. He cares for them as well. How to do this? You know, reach out to the Lord. Look for the vision. Look for a vocation, a calling God places upon your life. And then get busy creating your own war room. And start praying for your task, your vision, your vocation. Start doing stuff. And start reaching out. Create an outreach to reach out to people all over the world. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we want to praise you that we can face even the impossible. Lord, we want to praise you that you will give us wisdom, and we ask for this wisdom as well to deal with these difficult situations, to be able to reach out to people who are in total desperation about their identity, who do not know anymore who and what they are. We pray, Lord, that you will give us the wisdom, the love, the passion to reach out to these people. And to draw them in, to draw them into some peace which is indescribable, to draw them in into the hope which we have in you, to draw them in into the love of God, poured out in our lives and poured out in their lives as well. And I pray, Lord, that you will raise up these people as mighty warriors for the kingdom of God. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.